Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I did tell somebody this afternoon when we were leaving service, and none of us wanted to leave because the glory cloud was so prevalent around here. Amen. I told them, I said, now tonight's going to either be really easy to preach or really hard to preach. And I think I've figured out which one it's going to be by your spirit, your attitude. Amen to this beautiful response of the Spirit. Be seated, please, for just a moment. I do want to mind my manners and express and add to my thanksgiving to Brother and Sister Garza and this church family. First of all, for the vision that they exhibited to step out and start this meeting a few years ago. It is an absolutely irreplaceable meeting that we have here. That's how I feel about it. Amen. Hallelujah. I was sending some folks back home today, sending them the address of this place. Saw some here from the home front, and just want to make sure that everybody, our church, that possibly can, gets in on this good stuff that's around here. And I thank you, the food, the fellowship, the supporting pastors. You know, I think sometimes we just think in terms of sponsoring pastors, but I've watched how Brother Klon and Brother Saylor and some of the others have gotten underneath the arms of Brother Garza and said, we're going to help you with this meeting. Amen. And my, what a blessing it has been to see their help. Amen. And to every one of my fellow brethren that have preached here at this meeting, we have tapped into the deep wells that Brother Minna told us about. The deep, deep wells. The preaching that I have heard and received has been such a tremendous blessing unto me. And I am very, very, very grateful. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know how we could get anybody more into this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I hope you'd still got enough room to every once in a while be able to wiggle out from that wedge you're in and amen the preacher as he preaches. I think you could do that. Oh, hallelujah. I so appreciated that singing of Brother Pace, and especially since I've been to his church. Amen. To see it there. You know, I've been a faith-believing type of a person. Every time I hear somebody preach or somebody sing, and I just take it all at face value that they really believe everything they say. And sometimes you go to some churches and, you're just a little bit disappointed. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, that church that Elder Pace pastors there in Dallas, they believe everything he sang about and a whole lot more. Amen. And if you've only heard the gospel boys, you ought to hear the girls group that they have from that church. Woo! Hallelujah. Brother, they are anointed. The power of God flows through them. Amen. I am so blessed to be acquainted with God's men in this last and final hour. Stand with me, if you will, and I'm reading to you from the book of Psalms tonight. Amen. The book of Psalms. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'll get it here in just a second. I think I got all the on buttons. There it is. The book of Psalms, chapter number 91. It's just such a fantastic chapter. I couldn't figure out where to cut off the reading today. So I just decided to have us read the entire 16 verses of Psalms chapter number 91. Don't worry, I'm not going to try to preach them all. Amen. But I want to read it anyhow, so you can just be blessed by the reading of it. Psalms chapter 91, the Bible said, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name." That's us, isn't it? "He shall call upon me, and I will answer. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." Hallelujah. Wow. Wow. You can't find 16 verses more encouraging in the whole Bible. And those 16 verses to read them here tonight. But I am going to take my text from verse number 6, where it talks about destruction that wasteth at noonday. And I want to preach to you tonight on the subject, wasted at noonday. Amen. Wasted at noonday. Hallelujah. Would anybody here like to hear from God tonight? Oh, if you would, lift your voice. Let's ask God to do that. Let's ask Him to do that right now. Oh, yes, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Speak to us, God. Oh, Shekinah unending, Lord. Visit with us here tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God bless you, and you may be seated. Amen. As I point to the finish line in my message here tonight, I am going to be talking to you about evangelism. And I'd like to just say a few things here before I get started with the thought that I have for you here tonight, and let you to know that I have discovered that oftentimes preaching on evangelism without giving people tools to use to fulfill that can often only frustrate them and only leave them feeling so much like that I want to do something for God. I desire to do it. Would you help me some way to find an avenue, a venue in which I can get busy and do the work of God that you're talking about? It was mentioned today, one of the former pastors of this church, Brother Kenneth Bow, and I well remember when he was an evangelist and what a blessing it was for me as a pastor that when he came to our church as an evangelist, that he not only preached to motivate us in the area of evangelism, but he had tools that he was very familiar with. And instead of browbeating the people with this is what you ought to do and should do, he would get up in service and say, hey, I'd like to meet with all of the young people that want to go. Amen. And we're going to hit all of the parking lots here in the city of Burbank. And oh, man, it just did something for me as a pastor. It did something for me to realize that this preacher is not just preaching to us about this, but he's telling us this is a tool that I have found to be effective, and I'm not just throwing the tool to you and say, I hope you can figure out how to do it, but I'm getting out there and saying, come on, I'll show you how to use this tool. I'll show you how to get the job done. Amen. I'll show you how important it is in the area of evangelism. Amen. And I received a phone call. We have an evangelist that is preaching at our church and is here at this meeting. And he was with us last Sunday night. And we had divided up our church, and I got to asking God for a tool, a way, something. The people had been hearing a lot of preaching about evangelism. Now, you just have to forgive me, amen, because when you hear me preaching about holiness, I haven't quit believing evangelism. And when you hear me preaching about evangelism, I haven't quit believing holiness. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. But, some of you may have just heard it preached unto you, but you're looking at a preacher here that had it lived in front of my very own eyes every day of my life by a godly mother that I lived with and went anywhere with inside of her car. Her entire glove compartment was crammed full of tracks absolutely every day of my life. I'm telling you, every day of my life. And my wife married into the family, and one day she told me, she said she was taking my mom, and they were riding in her car, and she offered to drive, and she said that she got home, she said, boy, your mom about made me have a wreck today. I said, she did. What happened? Said, we're driving along, and all of a sudden, there's a couple of guys standing there on the curbside, and your mother, soft-spoken as she was, she screamed, stop! Stop! Debbie, stop! She said, I slammed on the brakes and wondered, what in the world? Some animal getting her? Something biting her? And said, I watched your mom as she rolled down the window. And she said, hey, guys, come here. She said, you need to come to our church. You need to come to our church. Oh, hallelujah. So I didn't just have a mama that never turned on a television one day of her life of being a good example for me, never dressed immodestly, but I had a mama that had a burden and a love to reach the lost, and she gave her very best till age 84, doing everything she could to get this gospel out and to tell people about Acts 2:38, about how to get delivered, about how to get set free. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And so back to my story, we had divided up into four teams. I thought we've never done this before. And every time, amen, every time, I'm constantly thinking, hey, if you're a preacher and you come by our way, I don't care, pastor, evangelist, preaching a youth service, if you've got a tool for evangelism, help us out with it. Tell us about it. Amen. Get it in our hands. Amen. And I had heard about something that they had done off somewhere and decided we was going to try it. And we was going to get out a little way that we could get out to every single family residence that there was in Burbank, a man that lives at the post office. And we divided up teams and had it all planned out. Every team was going to have to go through three cycles for us to get the job done. And the teams, amen. Matter of fact, I just saw this week's team captain walk in back there. Amen. The team's about 30 members to a team, and we divided the city of Burbank up into fourths. 100,000 residents live in that city, divided it up into fourths, and said in 12 weeks time, amen, we're going to extend that invitation to every last one of them in this city. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Week number one, team number one, before the week was over, they said, pastor, we've already, everybody showed up, everybody was excited. We've already covered our entire area. We won't need week two or week number three. I thought, oh, hallelujah. Amen. I talked to the captain. Amen. That's here tonight. I called him up on the phone yesterday saying, how's it going with your team? Hoping, you know, that he said, pastor, we're all done with our part. I thought, my God, in less than 2 weeks' time, 50% is already done for the city of Burbank. I thought, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Don't tell me God's people don't want to work for God. Don't tell me God's people don't want to get involved in evangelism. Don't tell me they're not interested in doing a work for God. They don't want to waste their life doing nothing. They're willing and desirous. Oh, my God. We can just lead them and give them tools and help them out, amen, to fulfill the mission, the calling, the burden that is upon our hearts. Oh, hallelujah. So I preach to you tonight about wasted at noonday. I want to tell you, first of all, that every phase of life that all of us go through, each one of those phases has a morning, it has a noonday, and it has a sunset to it. every phase of life that all of us go through. And when I preach to you about high noon and the noon phase of all of those areas of our life, I don't want to try in your mind to paint an overly optimistic picture. I'm not talking about, because you'll never find a place in your life that's without stress, that's without struggles, that's without frustrations, that's without challenges and feelings that says, I'm really not accomplishing much right now. Amen. Even at noonday, all of us are our worst enemies. We're all our worst critics. We're all thinking and realizing that, my God, some way, somehow, I have got to be doing more than what I am doing at the present time. And as we make the journey through life, I'm going to tell you that you can really only see the noonday phases of your life when you're looking in the rearview mirror. It's only after you have passed that area of your life that you can really truthfully look back and say, whoa, them were some mighty good days. And I didn't even realize it. Them were some wonderful, wonderfully productive years. And I was oblivious to it in the midst of all of the challenges that I was facing and what I was going through. And so when I talk to you about your childhood and that phase of life, all of us that are looking at childhood in the rearview mirror are all going to amen and say, it really was. But the kids that are here at that phase of their life are going to say, I don't think so. Amen. When I talk to you about your youth, everybody beyond the youth age is going to say, hear it. He's preaching truth. And the young people are going to sit there saying, I don't really see it like that. I'm sorry. I wished I could. I wished I really could fathom this as being my greatest hour. I really wish I understood it that way. So much so that I vividly remember a phone conversation I had one day with Elder Morton. When Elder Morton was still in his 50s. And I remember, amen, I was in my 40s. He was in his 50s. And it must have just been one of those unguarded moments when the elder was talking to me. We were just talking. And he was saying things that maybe my best years of pastoring are behind me. Yeah. And I thought, man, you got to be kidding. You got to be kidding. He struggles with the same things the rest of us struggle with. You got to be kidding. If he ain't the top of the dog pile, I don't want to know where it's at. In his 50s, he was talking about, you know, maybe the best years are behind me. Maybe I'm too old for this. Maybe I ought to. And I thought, oh, God, no. No, a rare glimpse at humanity of somebody that's been a lifelong hero of mine. And I said, oh, Brother Morton. I said, please, Brother Morton, amen. You are at your finest hour of life. how in the world the accumulative wisdom and experience and all of that from all of those years of powerful anointed ministry. And you know how he is. You can't brag on him very much before he changes the subject. And I thought, oh God, I blew it. Amen. Because he wanted to go on to talking about some other things that are there. And I thought, oh God, recently I thought about that. And I thought, what if our good elder had a bought in to that kind of thinking on a permanent basis? What would we have done for a guide through the last few years that all of us in this region and area have so desperately looked to him for counsel? Hallelujah. Now he's fixing to turn 70 years of age. Amen. And I just some way gonna do my best to convince him. Amen. That was your finest hour of midlife, but you're at your finest hour of your older years. Amen. Oh God, if we ever needed you before, we sure do need you now. Amen. We desperately need, but all of us live with the blinders of life that are around us, that somehow when we're going through it all, we never can see that it's noonday right now for me. Oh, hallelujah. It's noonday right now for me. And I'm here to tell God's churches in this region and God's preachers and God's man that this is our day. This is our finest hour. It didn't happen yesterday, and it's not going to be off in the future. But there is a noonday that God doesn't want us to waste, that God wants us to use for his glory and his honor and his namesake. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Be seated. Childhood. Childhood. Amen. Yes, it has a morning. And yes, it has a noonday. The Jewish people long ago figured out that the bar mitzvah and the bat mitzvah at age 12 was different in their society than what the rest of the world looks at a little 12-year-old kid. They figured out that that's high noon for childhood. And that's time for that child to realize, oh, hallelujah, that it's time for me to step up. It's time for me to become, amen, what I'm supposed to be for God. It's time for me, amen, to look at things just a little different. And Jesus Christ fulfilled that so beautifully at age 12. Hallelujah. By going to the temple. Hallelujah. And he wasn't the grand master of the video games. He wasn't the expert at playing Wii. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. He wasn't the one that everybody oohed and awed over. You can get to that level. You can get to that level. You can really get to that level. Oh, but there were some rabbis and some old sages that were sitting around and saying, this 12-year-old boy can get to some levels talking about spiritual things that none of the rest of us have ever been to. Amen. He knows his Bible. He knows the Word of God. He's plugged in. He's connected. We can't even answer his questions. Amen. We don't even know. He's astounding us. Because even at age 12, Jesus realized, amen, it ain't time for my earthly ministry to start yet. But I'm not wasting my childhood. I'm not wasting it. It's noonday, and I'm going to use it for the kingdom of God. I'm going to use it for the glory of God. Oh, hallelujah. Listen to me, people of God. The entertainment industry would love to put an IV port in the arms of your little children and convince you some way that their little plug-in drugs can say nighty-night to your little kids and some way pacify them throughout their childhood years. Oh, I'm so grateful for a mom and a dad that made a big deal how early I could learn to have memorized the books of the Bible. Amen. I'm so grateful for the day they stood me up at age 6 and I was able to say Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Whoa! They were celebrating more than any soccer mom, more than anybody whose kid played Little League. There was something in their spirit that said, our kid ain't gonna be wasted at noonday. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. The focus in childhood is on discovery. God put that in them. Discovery. How about some spiritual discovery? Ooh, hallelujah. How about moms and dads waking up to realize they're only going to have noonday of childhood once? And if it's wasted, it's gone forever. Gone forever. Don't waste it with cartoons, games of sorcery. Don't waste it. That stupidity that Disney comes out and sells at Burger King and everywhere else. Oh, I live in the city where Disney's headquarters are. And I can show you, amen, the building that's in the shape of a sorcerer's hat. And that's where they crank it all out to get that witchcraft and get all of that sorcery junk into the minds of kids because they know it's noonday for them kids. If I can get them all caught up in that junk at that age, I got a good chance to ruin the next phase. I got a real good chance to mess them up and get them off to the sidelines. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! It wasn't VeggieTales for little David. It wasn't Harry Potter books for him. Amen. He was composing songs on the harp for the Almighty God when nobody was listening, when there wasn't an audience asking him to play. But he had it in his heart. I want to sing to God. I want to glorify God. I want to live for God. I'm just a child, but I don't want to waste my childhood. Oh, hallelujah. Waste it. Waste it at noonday. Then comes along youth. Oh, hallelujah. Young people that are here today. The focus during youth is thrill seeking. You better believe it is. Yeah, you'll try things you'll never again try in your life. You'll volunteer for the most stupid things in all the world just on a dare. Oh, yeah. If you're off swimming in a river, you'll dive off of a bridge with no idea how deep that water is down at the bottom. Just because somebody dared you to do it. It's thrill seeking, brother. Amen. You want to go bungee jumping. Yeah, you do. I ain't lying to you. You do. Amen. You wanna go parasailing. Oh yeah. Parachuting even, yeah. Hey, just because we get old, we don't lose all of our memory. Amen. You want to do the wildest, go the fastest. There ain't no ride anybody can concoct that you're one little bit afraid of. They can dangle you by your toenails off of the edge of a skyscraper. And you'll say, let's do it again. Come on, Vegas, let's do it again. We're willing, we're ready. Somebody concoct something more. Try to challenge me. That's the focus. It's thrill, thrill, thrill seeking. Noonday, noonday, noonday of youth is probably at high school graduation. Oh, hallelujah. What about some spiritual thrill seeking? Oh, hallelujah. Well, the latest drugs and alcohol is what the rest of the kids your age are doing. How about counting up how many times you've been carried out drunk on the Holy Ghost? At the house of God, that you just got so soused you couldn't even walk straight before the service was all done. Amen. No, no, don't be wasted at noonday by doing all of what the world and your flesh wants to do. There needs to be something in you that said, I was born to work for God. I was born to live for God. I was born to worship God. I was born for that purpose. And devil, I'm not gonna be wasted at noonday. You're not taking away the best that I have. Hallelujah. 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 Fastings and all night prayer meetings. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. Tell me. Have you spent more early morning hours in lock-ins than you have prayer meetings? I'm telling you, you're being wasted at noonday. If you can play ball till the early morning hours. But when your pastor's having a 24-hour prayer chain, you can't quite get your hand up to volunteer for any of them late night hours. Oh, hallelujah. Wasted. Everything God gave you, everything He put inside of you. It's so easy to be wasted at noonday. Noonday of David's teenage years, brother. It wasn't drinking and fornicating and renting movies. Amen. It was a lion and a bear and a giant. It was, you talk about thrill seeking, buddy. You ain't never had goosebumps like David had when God said, buddy, amen, if you want some thrills, I'll give you some. I'll let you feel what it's like to be anointed by God. I'll let you feel what it's like to feel the power of God going through every inch of your body as you reach out and grab a hold of something that you thought was stronger than you were until you found my power and my might wanted to work in you as a teenager, as a young person. I wanted to use you. Oh, yeah. Don't be wasted at noonday, young people. Don't be wasted. Young adults, oh yeah, young adults, I looked around and saw
so many young married couples in this church with little kids that were coming in and out of church. And I thought, oh God, I hope they're not so busy trying to raise those kids and make a living that they're failing to realize this is the noonday of your young adult life. Oh, it's more than diapers and snot and taking care of kids. God said this is noonday for you. Amen. I can use you as young couples to build a church like nobody else. I can use you to influence other young couples that are frustrated because their kids are learning all the filth of the world and bad-mouthing them. And your kids are showing respect and they're treating you right, and those other parents are just itching to know what's the difference. How could I get some of what they've got? How could I hear it? And God's saying, there they are, there they are, there they are. Are you going to use, are you going to use your young adult years for the kingdom of God? Are you going to use them for my glory? Are you going to use it? But at young adult stage, the focus is on accomplishments. College degrees. Career promotions. Buying a home. Financial success. Yeah. It's on accomplishments. It's on accomplishments. It's all focused on accomplishments. What about spiritual accomplishments? Is the sun going to set on that phase of your life? And you look back and say, my God, I didn't go an inch forward in God when I could have utilized those years. Hallelujah. I could have utilized those years. I'm preaching to you. I'm preaching to young adults. Hey, I'm past the youth right now. I'm preaching to young adults that spend more time daily with their workouts to keep their physical bodies, amen, from ballooning up a little too quick. Yeah. More time pampering the flesh. Amen. More time getting the exercise routine in. And all of the time for the sports before you get too old to do it all. I ain't preaching against sports. Amen. Just because I'm too crippled up to do it. But I'm telling you, amen, if you spend more time doing that on a daily basis than you do at the house of God, seeking the face of the Almighty God, you're being wasted at noonday. You're taking a body full of strength and vigor and youth and vitality, and you're saying, I'm not going to use it for your kingdom, God. Not going to use it. You say, woo, I dodged the bullet. Sure glad I ain't in that exercise class. What about shopping at the malls? Getting the manicures and the pedicures. Instead of getting the junk from out from underneath your spiritual fingernails. In a closet of prayer where you're all alone with God saying, my God, cleanse me, purify me. Oh God, help me, help me, help me. I want to be a service to your kingdom. I don't want to be wasted potential for the kingdom of God. Wasted at noonday. Midlife comes along, and high noon, I'm sure, for midlife. Somewhere around 50. And the focus is on relationships. Relationships. Critics of Jesus said he's not yet 50. Must have realized that's a threshold that is important when somebody passes. But the focus is on relationships, friends. Well, I know I'm preaching now. I know I'm preaching. Relationships with my grandchildren. Relationship with people that are my same age. Relationship. I'm not against friends. I'm not against grandkids. I'm begging my kids to have me some grandkids. Amen. Relationships with co-workers. Amen. Relationships with neighbors. It's all about relationships in midlife. That's the focus of it all. Amen. David got to that place of midlife, and suddenly those relationships were more important than the spiritual relationship that it meant so much to him. Amen. From midlife on, you don't find a mention of Samuel or the other prophets. And David's prayer life starts slipping. Amen. I'm talking to every one of you that are in the midlife phase of life now. Are you praying as much as you used to? Are you talking to God like you used to? Are you reading your Bible like you used to? Are you getting shut in with God like you used to? It's so easy to forget about the most important relationship and spend all our time, amen, working on those things that are earthly. How about some spiritual relationships with some new converts? I'm amazed at how many people have time for all the relationships with the people their age in the church. But you let a new convert need somebody that'll develop a relationship with them. Somebody that'll take them in. How about some spiritual grandkids? Hey man, how about getting a revelation of that and realizing, my God, they need me probably worse than my natural ones do. Hey man, they don't have any example. They don't have anybody that can lead them in the ways of God. Why can't I take them under my wings and do that? But when relationships with other human beings on a carnal basis, you better look out, David. A neighborhood woman lived next door, brother. Hey, you don't know much about life if you think David just saw her buck naked one day and said, "I like your curves. Would you jump in bed with me?" That ain't close to the way it happened. David got a slow-growing relationship with that neighbor woman a long time before there was ever any exposure of the flesh. That relationship built into a closeness that was there that one day led him to a terrible, tragic failure. Noonday, and he was wasted. Noonday of what he could have done for God. Had there been anybody that God had primed and prepared to do such great things for his kingdom as what that 50-year-old man was poised to be able to do for God? But suddenly other relationships was the predominant thought on his mind on a daily basis. And he bit the dust. He was wasted at noonday. David's not the only one whose name I could mention and you would recognize that at midlife, human relationships became more important than the relationship with God and the connection final phase for all of us is old age. I'm not there yet, but I suppose high noon could be said to be 70 years of age. The focus at that phase is reminiscence, recapping, reviewing your life. I've pastored a few folks in that age. I've watched my mom and dad go through that phase, their way to the grave, and high noon, is it all about retirement? Is it all about travel? Is it all about investments? Is it all about ladies in the church that have never dyed their hair before? Suddenly think they need to dye it. Searching for the fountain of youth. Is that what you were born for? So when God spent a whole lifetime loving you, caring for you, blessing you, giving you enough wisdom and enough experience that now you could be mentoring others in the kingdom. You could be helping others, caring for them. Suddenly, oh, I know what I'm talking about, friend. I'm not just talking through my hat. You can't hardly get them to be faithful to church. They'll go everywhere else, but you can't hardly get them to be faithful to the house of God. Yeah, they'll be there on Sunday morning, but boy, don't announce revival and expect them to come. Now, every day, they're out and about and they're going, but they mystically run out of steam just about church time, just about the time that you're supposed to go to the house of God. The aches and all of the problems are suddenly so overwhelming that I just can't make it tonight, Pastor. Amen. Somebody saw you at McDonald's. Somebody saw you at the senior's place. Somebody saw you down at the Sally store. Wasn't that you at the Goodwill today? Wasn't that you somebody saw down there? I know I was feeling better then, Pastor. But right now, oh God. Hey, let me preach to you. Let me preach to you. I love you. I care for you. Hey, amen. What about it? What about it? Do you want to be wasted at noonday? Does everything you could be doing for the kingdom of God, amen, praying for others, giving godly counsel, giving advice from the scripture, amen, a whole lifetime, does it go down the drain at noonday when you could be doing so much for God? So much. I can't tell you how overjoyed I was when I had a man almost turning 65 telling me, Pastor, I can't wait to retire from Lockheed. He said, I've dreamed all of my life of being able to give full time to the church. Oh, God. I mean, I'm telling you, I started crying on the phone. I was just so overjoyed to hear a 65-year-old man telling me I've been waiting all of my life to give full time to the church. And he said, Pastor, I'm fixing to retire. Hallelujah. And I don't need anything of this world. I don't need any of what it's got. But he said, I've been watching the church lawn and the landscaping around there. And he said, I was a farmer back in Ohio, and I got a kind of green thumb. Amen. He said, I'm going to make it as sharp as Disneyland. He said, I'm going to make it beautiful. I can't wait. Amen. That's going to be my job, Pastor. Amen. Nobody else can do it when I get the time to do it. That's going to be my job. And I watched him. He got 65, and that's all he wanted to do. Amen. Was work at the church. work at the church, work at the church, work at the church. He wasn't going to be wasted at noonday. He wasn't going to waste them years that God had given to him. The kingdom of God was what he was born for, and he was ready, anxious to work for it. Oh, God. Oh, God. I remember him getting so bad he had to get in a little, you know, mobility assisted deal that was there. I said, Pastor, don't take my job away from me yet. I said, I can still go around on the sidewalks and take care of everything. I said, well, brother, you can't push a lawnmower from the back of that. I tell you what, I'll have the young guys do the lawn mowing and you can take care of trimming wherever you can reach. He said, okay, it's a deal. You're going to stand in judgment beside men like that. I'm going to stand in judgment beside people just like that. That when the noonday phase of life said, now you got some time on your hands. Now you got some available energy. What are you going to do for God? What are you going to do for the kingdom of God? Are you going to be, we ought to have an army of volunteers at our churches saying, oh, Pastor, hallelujah. Amen. I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait. It's not fishing I've been dreaming about. It's not hunting I've been dreaming about. It's God's work. I'll do some of the rest of it, but I don't want to be wasted at noonday. I don't want to be wasted at noonday. Oh, God. Oh, God. You may be seated. He got too old. Too old to get out much, and every time I'd come visit him, he lived next door to the church. He was reading his Bible. Finally, one day, I smelled something inside. I'd seen the troops coming over after services, and I'd watched them file in and file out. I said, Brother Smith, what is cooking inside of your kitchen in there? Oh, he said, I almost forgot. Had oxygen deals on his nose and a long cord because the sun was setting on his life. But he hadn't wasted noonday. He walked in there and shuffled out and I said, what was that? He said, it was cookies, Pastor. He said, I figured the least I can do to encourage the young people is invite him over every night after church and feed him some cookies. Oh, God. Oh, God. I can't do anything more physically, but I can do that, Pastor. And I said, that's what they've been coming for, huh? That's what this is all about, huh? Oh, God. Oh, God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be wasted at noonday. I don't want to be wasted in any phase of my life. I want the Almighty God to see me willing and working and desirous. Oh, God. You may be around when I get old. But oh God, I want to be like those two senior citizens that I read about in Luke chapter number 2. Hallelujah. They were senior citizens that were daily at the temple. And God said, I like it so well that Simeon, in your old age, you're going to hold the Christ child. Anna, in your old age, you're going to get to hold baby Jesus and prophesy over him because you're daily in the temple. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Are you feeling what I'm feeling? Are you feeling what I'm feeling? Are you feeling it? Are you feeling it tonight? Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, let's wait on God for a minute here. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, God. Oh, God. Glory, glory, glory. Talk to us, Jesus, before we waste it. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be seated, please. Amen. I know how touchy senior citizens get about their driver's license. I had to be part of that mafia gang that figured out how to get them away from my dad. Brother, they want their driver's license to the end. Wouldn't it be wonderful from the teenager all the way to the senior citizen if God said the only way you get to keep a driver's license is if you'll use that to drive to the church for prayer every day? It ain't too much effort to drive somewhere else where you want to go. But suddenly it's this huge, overwhelming obstacle of how hard it would be to get in the car and drive to the temple and get to the house of God, to where there's a spirit of prayer that's in that church, that when a new convert comes by in the middle of the day, they're saying, "Woo, I'm feeling something in there." It ain't just us new converts that come to pray. It's the old veteran saints that come to pray. Amen. Oh, it's the power of God as the pillars of the church get to shaken under the presence of God, and God is there. I know I'm dreaming. I know I'm dreaming, but I still believe this is our hour. This is our best day. I still believe it. Be seated. I want to close with telling you the most misunderstood story in the whole Bible to me is the story of the parable of the talents. We read that story and all of us at one time or another thought a talent was if I could play the piano, or if I could sing, or if I could beat the tambourine, or if I had office skills, or if I had this, or if I had that. Had the other, what I could do for the kingdom of God. And it ain't got nothing to do with that. Talks about 1 and 2 and 5 talents being given. The U.S. weight measurements here in America are ounces, pounds, and tons. That's the three basic, amen, from the lightest to the heaviest weight that was there. In the scriptural terminology, the talent was the equal to the ton. I want you to hear me. It was the heaviest weight. The heaviest weight measurement that they knew of. Well, hallelujah. I know I'm messing with your little playhouse of your one little old tiny little meager little talent, and I don't have much at all. If God had given me something, I could be used, and I'd do more, and I'd do all of that. Hey, where did you get that nonsense from? The heaviest. As a matter of fact, the wealthy people Much like you're hearing all the advertisements on the radio today of gold being the only stable investment. And we can have gold bars delivered to your door. And that's exactly how in Bible days the wealthy stored their wealth. The largest, amen, measurement of the largest bar of gold that they could possibly get was called the talent. The talent be melted down, and that was the largest one that was there. And would you allow me to tell you what my research found out? That roughly in today's dollars, that the one talent that God said the king gave, the guy that got the least, was the equivalent of $1 million in today's money. $1 million. You little whiny, sniffly little thing complaining about your one little talent that you need to go take it and hide it somewhere. No wonder the king got mad at him. No wonder the king, amen, wanted to banish him forever. He said, I can't believe it. I gave an investment into you worth $1 million. That ain't nothing to sneeze at, buddy. He said, I gave you so much and you absolutely refused to do anything whatsoever to try to multiply that huge of an investment that I placed in side of you. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, and I'm not stretching it at all. Amen. It would be fair to say in the same terminology that is used in that parable that God has put a ton of gold in you. The Bible tells us, oh, hallelujah, that when God drug you out of the muck and the mire, and God filled you with His glorious gift of the Holy Ghost, that the wealthiest of all of the wealthy said, I am going to put a treasure in earthen vessels. I am going to put $1 million testimony inside of that girl, inside of that boy, and I'm going to see what they're going to do with it. I'm going to see if they're going to tell anybody about it. I'm going to see if they're going to witness. I'm going to see if they're going to multiply it. I forgot my clock. Be seated. I ain't quite done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, Brother Payan, I got to talking with this home missionary yesterday. Yesterday. Whoo, I got excited about it, Brother Payan. Telling me. Amen. God, he'd tell me how many they got average attending the church. And he said, we got 14 of them. Ooh, hallelujah. Now, I know a lot of home missionaries that would have a full-fledged pity party over only having 14. But when you realize that the wealthiest of all made a $14 million investment already in that city. Woo, hallelujah. The Almighty God has invested $14 million worth of Holy Ghost anointed testimonies and said, come on, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? I gave it to you. Are you going to waste it? Are you going to waste it? Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Remain standing. Elder Wheeler. Woo! I've been there, brother. I've seen it with my own eyes in the Philippines and in Asia. The Almighty God has made hundreds of millions of dollars worth of investment already to reach Asia with the gospel. If nobody else invests another dime in it, God's already said, I believe in it. I'm going to help you. I'm going to anoint your people. I'm going to give each one of them a minimum of $1 million testimony and let them put it to work. Go tell people what God did for you. Go tell people how God delivered you from drugs, how God delivered you from alcohol, how God set you free. It's noonday, church. It's noonday for the apostolic church. Oh, God. It's noonday. This is our hour. And God's made an incredible investment in the smallest church that's here. And how much more? Woo. God thought you'd get excited about that $1 million testimony He gave you. He thought you'd be so thrilled to get something so far beyond anything you could ever buy or ever pay for that you just couldn't shut up. That you just couldn't keep quiet. That you just couldn't resist telling it everywhere you go. You just couldn't wait to get out on the streets. You just couldn't wait to tell your neighbors and your co-workers and those that are at school with you, look what God did for me. Look what God did for me. Look what God did for me. Every pastor that's here, I'm telling you in the Holy Ghost, it is noonday for your city. Every veteran saint, every new convert, every young person that is here, it's noonday. God said, if you waste that unbelievable treasure I put in you, by hiding it, I'm going to cast you into hell. Outer darkness is where you belong. If you wasted the noonday that I gave you because you were too busy to use it for my kingdom, for my glory. Hallelujah. I know there's not any room, but I want to ask us, get as close as you can. Kneel at your seat where you're at. Amen. Let's get to talking to God right now. Everybody in the house. I'm not going to be wasted at noonday. Come on, Pastor. Give me a tool. Give me a way. Tell me how we can get busy working for God. Tell me what I can do. Show me some way. Somehow. Oh, God. I don't want to be wasted at noonday. Lead us in a song of worship. Come on. Come on. Come on. Let's get busy working for God. Let's get busy working for God. How much more does He have to invest for you to get excited about it? Oh, God. I'm ready, Pastor.